Candyman.
Don't.
Candyman.
Don't
No,
say it
stop.
again.
You're gonna
Stop.
Candyman.
David!
No. の一つじゃないしストリップ劇場の上りじゃないし落ちたこの世のかけらじゃないし地球が垂らしたクソでもないしまさか幸せのせいだ。
You got some bad feng shui, bro. I actually learned in feng shui, if you like leave your shoes pointing at the door, you invite like bad juju.
Mm-hmm. My shoes don't point toward the door. I'm
okay,
okay,
good.
I only take my shoes off when I'm going to sleep. Otherwise, my shoes are always on. I never take them off.
Really?
He's always ready.
Yes, I hate having my shoes off.
That damn.
My mom's boyfriend always used to wear his shoes to sleep because he said he used to be homeless and he always needed to be ready. So he slept with his sneakers on even in bed.
Is that the one who couldn't read?
No, that was the one who killed himself.
Oh, shit. Rest in peace.
You know what was making me laugh today? I was imagining, because you're huge, right? You're just a giant guy. I was imagining whenever you and Manny meet up, that like you carry Manny around New York like you're a war elephant. And because, you know.
I carry him in a little bundle on my back.
Yeah, you carry him around like you're Joe Buck and he's Ratso Rizzo.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's looking all around Times Square because he's 5'2". Manny's 5'8".
No, he's not.
You know,
he's
in
like,
case anybody knows.
I got to stand up for my boy. He's not. Well, he's not 6'2", ladies, like me.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or like me.
Yeah.
Everyone laughs because they...
Manny's... Maybe even 5'1".
No, he's like, he's nearing 6 feet, bro.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. Okay.
Wait, have you seen him?
Yeah, how do you know his height, bro?
It's just a feeling I get.
No, he's like 6 feet. I'm standing up for my boy.
Maybe just every time you go to his house, he's standing on a stack of books and you don't notice.
You don't know. Yeah.
Well, bro, he's got a lot of books in his place.
He's well read.
You guys want to hear about my feet?
I guess so. Yeah, you love talking about your feet. You love showing feet.
Yes, I've been like really in love with my feet.
Have you been showing girls your feet?
Yeah, like sometimes I'll test them and I'll like send them a picture of my foot just to see how they react.
What is the test?
What is there to test? Like to see if they're really about loving me and all of me, bro.
All of you.
Is that what that test says? Because
yes.
If you barely know someone and then they send you their gross and then you're like, man, I
no,
like
my
guy.
Feet are a canvas, bro. They're like all yellow and purple and shit. I have like fungus under my toenails, I think. I need to get
you
that.
You are hurting
fixed.
Yourself.
Also, what do you mean by a canvas? You mean like it's some kind of expression?
He's painting
yes,
it with paint.
Yes, I'm painting it with steps. Like it looks like a Rothko painting, bro.
That's not good.
It doesn't look like that either. It looks like a fucking disgusting foot that's so shiny because it's just all callous now. It's essentially like a peg leg, you know.
Oh, I asked girls if I could talk to them about my feet. Like, I don't know.
Really?
Sometimes I like rub them. Like, I'm so lonely. Sometimes I like rub my feet and like it will like really self-soothe me like an infant.
You walk a lot.
Yeah, but it's like sensual, and I wish a girl would do it for me, and like I'd rub her feet too.
Man,
you could rub each other's feet. You could sit
by
the fire.
Yeah, that'd be really sweet.
Do you have a fireplace?
No, but like we could set a pavement fire.
Yeah, you could set a pavement fire and rub each other's feet
on the sidewalk
by the church.
Oh, disgusting, bro. Vile stuff.
We gotta use this podcast to find me a nice woman. Like,
we do.
No.
Yes.
What kind
like
of nice woman's listening to this.
What
there
kind
are
of
all
nice
kinds
woman,
of nice
like,
women listening to our podcast?
Bro,
my
I think
nice
that
women.
Anna Kurtopova, whatever lady, was
don't,
listening to it.
Yeah,
I think me and her could have a future, bro.
We're never getting that interview now.
You're not.
I don't think she likes me, but she doesn't know what I look like.
That's what I've been telling you.
If she knew, she would.
She would flee.
Here's my pitch. Like,
okay, yes, do it publicly. Here we go.
Do it right here, right now.
Okay. Dear Anna, or any other girl listening to this, but you have to be like age 28, I think, to be appropriate, or older or whatever. What I'm proposing, I'm also into like older women. So,
David, you're disgusting.
Fine.
Okay, but what I propose,
marriage?
No, I'm not going to force him into marriage like that, bro. I want to fall in love over a period of a year and then marry them and then have a child and then regret it.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I don't know. I just want a girlfriend, bro. I'm so lonely. Yeah, I feel like a whiny bitch, but I don't care.
This is the worst pitch to Anna. Ever
like, oh, wait. I forgot I'm speaking directly to her. Okay.
I know. You forgot about it. Talk about yourself.
This isn't why this isn't going to happen.
No. Okay. I'll talk about her now.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Dear Anna, I think you're a wonderful writer. I think you're quite intelligent. I don't know what you look like, but I'm sure you're quite beautiful. And I'm a man of strong character, and I'm an experienced boyfriend of many years. I've had many wonderful relationships in my life.
I think that's true.
I would want to add you. You know how I wrote my story, My First Everything? How about I make you our last everything? Huh? That was good, bro.
That was good.
Do you think she read your story?
I think so. I think, honestly, a lot of these people read my story and they think I'm the GOAT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very humble.
They listen to your raps. They read your stories. And
exactly.
They're like, damn.
And they're listening to this podcast, and she's listening right now and probably thinking, like, wow.
People follow sounds you incredible. Everywhere you go.
Yes. I have like paparazzi everywhere I go.
Like Lady Gaga.
Yeah. She was the Joker's girlfriend. I need that type of romance. I need that Harley Quinn romance for my Joker.
See the movie
Footloose.
Anna, you get together with Anna, and Anna encourages you to do more and more antisocial behavior, and then
she
drops you. And
no, me and Anna would be on Brighton Beach, and we'd be wearing turtlenecks and smoking cigarettes and speaking Russian together and eating borscht. And
why would both of you wear turtlenecks?
Because it's cute.
Because it's she likes Kinski, whatever, whoever the fuck that is, bro.
House Kinski?
Yeah, I think so.
That family has good sweaters. You see Paris, Texas? You see Nastasha Kinski's sweater in Paris, Texas?
Yeah,
the pink
God
one?
Damn.
Okay, you see, like, I'm already connected to her on some level.
What? What is the connection?
The connection is that Lynn picked up on the fact that I said Kinski and Kinski sweaters and shit. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Yeah, you're so clear.
The connection here, you're just not getting it. These are higher level ideas.
She doesn't strike me as the kind of a person who wants to ever go to New York.
Well, I think she'd want to go if she knew that I'm here and I'm such a wonderful guy and I'm 6'2" and I have a great hairline and I'm bilingual.
You have layers in your hair.
Yes, I'm going to go to the salon soon and get it fixed up. Like, yes. I'm really a fucking baddie in this bitch. Like, come on. Like,
baddie Mari.
Listeners and Anna,
It is
true. Mari gets his hair layered for whatever reason. I don't understand why.
I look like an anime character. Like, I'm honestly, I don't look like Charlie from The Whale anymore. I look like the male Sydney Sweeney. Like, I'm a hottie and I'm ready to stand up for myself.
This is Mari's baddie era.
Yeah, this is season two, bitch. Like, I'm really coming for everybody.
Yeah, season two. I imagine. Wait. So you're on Brighton Beach with Anna, and you're both wearing your sweaters, and right behind your shoulder, like Elder Tagoro in Yu Yu Hakusho, is Manny.
Yes, like, bro, like the things that me and Anna would get into, like, it'd be a movie. It'd be a Kinski movie.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it'd be a fucking romance novel, dude. Like,
so not a movie.
It'd not be a movie. It'd be a novel.
Really, really loose with consent.
No. I'm a quite respectful man. Like,
with beautiful hair. You are respectful.
Yes. Like,
you even ask girls if they want to see your feet.
Yes, that's like a part of my mating ritual.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you something you may not understand, but I'm a thirsty vampire. I want to bite your hair. Shoot! I want to bite your hair. I want to bite your hair. Oh please, please don't scream. I know you think it's grand when I fly in your window. Just let me bite your hand. Just let me bite your hand. I want to bite your hand. And then I bite you. I feel happy inside.
It's so. What's it like being a rapper?
It's hard. It's really hard.
It seems really fucking hard.
It is. It's like you got to put your thoughts in a way that rhymes. It's ridiculous.
I mean, just to put on the blackface alone takes like 4 or 5 hours. You know?
No, I don't do that, bro.
It doesn't take me that long.
No, I'm a very respectful Polish rapper.
You know, it's funny because you're a rapper, but I feel like I end up rapping every podcast.
Yeah, you see, Mari's never rapped, and we've rapped multiple podcasts.
Multiple times, yeah.
And he's never once rapped.
Because I can't because of my contract with Atlantic Records.
Oh, you got that contract with it.
They said that you can't rap unless your voice is itched up to
Of course.
Okay. Wow. Whoa. Yeah, you heard me on that one, huh, Yellen?
That was crazy. I heard that. That was some Greatest Showman shit.
Okay. Ew. Well, welcome to Response Pod. I'm David.
I'm Lyndon.
I'm Mari. Let's get lit with it.
Oh, shit. Let's get lit with it.
You fucking missed it. No, dude,
do I have to do it again or is it fine?
No, you're fucked. You're done. Okay, so guys, we have a very special episode for you. If you're listening to this right now, that means it is October 31st. That means it's Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
So, you know, be safe out there. Test your coke, etc.
Check for razor blades. My mom always did that and then would eat like half my fucking candy. Sugar's the devil for real, though. Most addictive American drug. We're having a sugar crisis.
You know, that is really true. That is really true.
Well, look at sugar. It literally looks like coke. Isn't that deep?
Isn't that fucking crazy?
That's deep, dude.
Who's really addicted?
Not me. I don't take any pills and I only eat aspartame.
Yeah.
You do eat a shit ton of aspartame. That's just bad for you, brother.
I don't eat that much aspartame.
Yes, you do.
I eat a lot of sucralose too.
You're going to get brain fungus from aspartame.
Man, my brain's already fucked. I take like 8 medicine.
You literally just said that you don't take any medicine.
I was lying.
You're a liar. Okay. Well, guys, this is our Halloween episode. This is also the start of season 2 of Response Pod. This is season 2. If you didn't get the game pass, well, you're going to miss out on all the stuff.
All the goodies. Said.
All the good stuff. All the
Halloween goodies.
We leveled up like a Shonen Jump manga. Yeah.
We got a skin that's just Mari being an Indian guy. We got a skin that's Lyndon that's, strong.
And tall and big.
Tall. Somehow unschizophrenic skin. I don't know how we differentiated that.
I wish I had an unschizophrenic skin. Just put it on.
It just sparkles. It's like one of those skins that just sparkles. Yeah, shiny Pokemon. Yeah.
Shiny Linden.
Okay. So, this is a spooky episode. We're spooks. This is
Oh, you can't say that.
Oh yeah.
From these are your personal glowies, and the message is buy a gun, avenge Kirk. Buy a gun, avenge Kirk.
You can't say that.
Ooh.
That's controversial.
It's
bro.
Halloween though. And on Halloween, you can say anything. You can even say Candyman. He won't come.
Have you ever tried that? Like went in the mirror and said it?
No, yeah. I've always been too afraid. I'm like 32 and I'm still afraid of my bathroom mirror. Like I'm still afraid, not in an eating disorder way, in like a Candyman way. Like I'm afraid of Candyman. I'm afraid of Bloody Mary. I think if I turn around, she's going to, with the light off, she's going to come get me.
Candyman.
Don't.
Candyman.
Don't say
no, stop.
It again. Stop.
Candyman.
No.
I only have two more. Okay. No. But so it's spooky, buy a gun, avenge Kirk. First off, I guess we do our little billboards. We have some good billboards. Who's going to describe the billboard this time? Who wants to take up the reins?
Mari, you do it.
Sure.
Mari.
It's your chance to spread your personalized message on ResponsePod, and you can say whatever you want as long as you're not copy-pasting your whole 5,000-word story into an email.
Please don't do that.
But you can, I guess, advertise the fact that you have a story on a publication, and you can share your name and the story title and the site, and everyone's going to go and look at it. Or you could just send a message of any kind, really.
We love a message.
We're very well connected, so it'll probably... You can
like the mafia.
No, don't. We're not doing the mafia thing anymore. We can't do the mafia. But yes, you send it to david.responsepod@gmail.com. And you can send them anytime. We kind of do like a curtain call for them, but literally it's email. So just send it anytime. It makes it more dramatic. You know what I mean? If we're like, you only have this amount of time. Okay. But so we have some billboards here. I'm going to go last. Because I have a bit to say about my billboard.
Well, I can go first.
No, let Lynn go first, because yours is kind of a nothing burger from an idiot, a retard.
Oh, wow.
Damn. Okay.
So I guess I'll go first.
Da-da-da!
David, all due respect, but what is the point of having the number one online literature podcast in Detroit, and I guess New York City, if you're not going to shout out eulogy.press? I don't care if submissions are closed. It's not selling out when you work for free. I also hope by this point in the episode, you've mentioned the Mike Israetel PhD scandal. Maybe it's not even worth reporting that the 5'4 solipsist trend damaged pinniped is likely pretty much illiterate, but this is still your guy's beat. Hashtag hating over. Shout out Hawkeye Mag. Read Beating the Dead Horse out November 11th if somehow this app comes out before then, David. Then read everything else on there. Shout out Burial Mag, shout out Scaffold, shout out Don't Submit, and the incredible run over on Expat. P.S. I lied. Resume hashtag hate. David and Mari were both completely wrong last episode. Anything less than 1,000 followers is a lobby. You're all lobbies, not just Lynn. Yes.
In fact, lobby is a state of mind.
Someday Mari might not be a lobby, but he'd have to squash too much beef to make it happen. And it would probably ruin the podcast as well as his prose style. If he has 1,000 followers by the next time one of you is reading this out loud, I will issue a full retraction and apology next episode. Thank you all. Keep on responding and getting lit with it.
Hell yeah. Well, shout out to Eulogy Press.
That was by Lucas, who is a fin editor at Eulogy Press. A very good press. I mean, the people working there are amazing. It's incredible. The crew that Macy got together for Eulogy Press, you know, that I'll gush over it over and over. I would like to say, so viewers, I'll just say, not viewers. Okay. One.
You're fucking up.
Retake. Okay. Listeners, so we're not going to report on Mike Israetel. But I will say, yes, they found his PhD whatever. What is that called? Dissertation? What is it called?
Thesis.
And it legit has stuff like, guys who are more athletic can run faster.
If and you jump have, higher.
You can jump
That's
higher.
That's awesome, bro. Big,
and it's crazy. It's so funny. And this is a guy.
Hey, well, is he wrong?
No.
He's right. But this
exactly.
This is a guy who will sit there and say that he has an IQ of well over 160, that they can't even measure it because there's no.
Bro, he might be right. When yeah. you get that smart, you just start saying simple shit because it's like revert. It's like that meme where it's like the smart person at the bottom and then like the dumb person. And then it's just the average person. It's just like with average thoughts.
I will say there are lots of videos going around the saying like, oh, the deserved decline or fall of Mike Yersutra. And I was like, what do you, he never rose. What are you talking about? Who the fuck likes Mike? Okay.
Who likes Mike?
Oh, what about like Mike? And it's just like you put on a lifting belt and then you transform into like a short piece of shit.
Or what about I am Mike, like I am Sam?
What about Mike Israel?
He can't be one of us.
He got the G virus injected into him and that's what happened.
He looks like a Gears of War character.
He wishes. He's too short.
Well, aren't they short? They're like short and big.
No, they're huge.
No, I don't know. We got to check the lore book because they might be under 6 feet.
They're like the size of bugs. That's why the locusts look normal size. Okay. Well, thank you, Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas.
And, you know, when you guys do Billboard, leave my name out of your mouth.
You could say my name because he said that, like, he implied that my pro style is good.
And he said, I'm not just a Lobie, but you guys are also Lobies. So
it's fine.
Like he's pro Linden.
I hate
yeah.
this. Stupid. Okay. So our next Billboard will be read by Mari, and it's from our rival, our competitor, even though it feels weird to call him a competitor because he's like so far down there, you know, just like way, way, way down there.
Well, you both were on his podcast, but
I
me,
love Lo-Fi Lit.
Me, I'm like, I don't know, I'm blackballed from Lo-Fi Lit. He's scared of me, I think.
Because you're not gay, you know, if you start acting gay and then he'll be like, oh my God.
Dude, one time he sent me a screenshot and it was like, homophobia.
Was it of David?
No, it was like homophobia in Poland. And he was like asking me to like respond to it. And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, what the fuck do you want me to say? Like, what the
homophobic
fuck?
Mari.
No. I'm pro LGBT. I'm woke.
How many polls does it take to lynch a gay man?
They wouldn't do that because a lot of polls are femboys now.
Are they?
Yeah, it's like becoming a big thing.
That's weird, dude.
Can you even buy rope in Poland anymore?
Yeah. I hear they're out of it. Because they keep killing us.
Oh, no.
Okay, but this is from Lo-Fi Lit's host, Tyler Byrne.
Mr. Byrne. Well, Mr. Byrne writes, quote, who will be John Cena's last... Wait, this isn't grammatically correct, dude. Okay, who will John Cena's last match? Okay, it is. Who will John Cena's last match be against?
Okay, I take it back. You're not a piece of shit.
I'm a piece of shit. I'm sorry.
It's all Mari's fault, actually.
We are fucking up this episode.
Let me do this. Okay, let me do this. Quote unquote.
Okay.
Who will John Cena's last match be against? Who is the John Cena of Alt-Lit? Alt-Lit can't see me. What about Alf-Lit? All proper pronouns are now Alf. Alf likes blueberries. Wow. I don't really get that, dude.
Hell
and I'm
yeah.
also I'm upset because you won't let me on Lo-Fi Lit, and now I'm never going on.
Because you wasted my time with this one.
Yes, like
I think it was good.
Alf is a grab, man. What is he like? Tyler's like 50, 60?
Alf, isn't that like the Muppet thing? It looks like a croissant.
He's not a Muffet, but he does look like a croissant.
Yeah, the nose is very croissant-like, I think.
I want to take a big old bite of Alf and roast him up on the Barbie.
What if he was full of spiders when you tried to cook him?
Well, that's protein. People eat that. I saw a video of people like in some country, they were just like grabbing a bunch of mosquitoes and they squashed them into a little burger and started flipping them like patties, bro.
You shouldn't eat mosquitoes. They carry diseases. That's like bushmeat. Which bushmeat sounds really racist to say, but it's real. It's just monkey meat.
Jesus. Yeah, cooking kills viruses, stuff. It kills everything, right? It's good.
Yeah, I think so. I think eating blood is also good.
That's just a power thing. You know, that's more a metaphysical kind of question, I think.
No, Polish people eat this thing called blood sausage, and it's like literally like congealed blood in the sausage pack, and you just bite into it.
Do you like it?
It honestly tastes not bad.
Oh, yeah. That's disgusting.
No, but it tastes like pate, I guess.
Like a cat.
See, the thing is, the color of blood sausage just like reminds me of blood from shit. That's, you know, when you can tell that like you're bleeding internally, like the blood is not bright red. It's like dark almost.
Yeah,
black.
Like.
So that's what it makes me think of.
That's scary, dude.
Yeah.
That's real life.
That's not real life. People don't bleed from their assholes when they take a shit.
Sometimes. No, what if you have like colon cancer or whatever the fuck?
Or Crohn's. What if you have Crohn's?
Then you bleed from your butthole all the time, every day.
You bleed from your butthole.
Bro, bleeding is just like...
And you shit uncontrollably. People who have Crohn's just shit everywhere all the time.
I think I have cancer every day. Dude, sometimes I'll be laying in bed and be like, I have lung cancer and brain cancer and skin cancer. It's going to take me away soon.
Yeah, I thought I was having a heart attack last night, like I said.
You two are so fucked up. There's something wrong with you.
What's funny is sometimes I'll think I'm having a heart attack and like I'll just like go to sleep.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, I have the last billboard, and I think this billboard, man, come on.
Sorry.
You were cheaping on a bogey.
I was.
What does that mean? What are you talking about?
A bogey. A square. A cigarette.
Oh, a square. And now you're speaking my language. Oh, we were doing more Kyle stuff about him, like stuff like, I'm using this advance to buy me some rocks. I'm gonna cook it up. I'm double my money.
I don't remember that. Were we doing that?
Got half an hour ago, brother.
Oh, really? Just now?
Yeah, you were taking the lead on it.
I was?
No, he's messing with you.
I'm literally not messing with
you. Yo, I don't remember that.
That didn't happen.
Stop.
Okay. Well, it was before we were recording.
My memory's bad.
Oh my gosh.
This is a gaslighting campaign.
David's gaslighting me and he's my husband, so he's abusing me. And
this is like some Mommy Dearest shit. Is that the movie?
Yeah.
What's the other movie?
What's that one movie where it's abusive? You know, where the love goes bad?
I like Hannah D., Girl of Vondel Park. They shoot heroin into her forehead. It's a good movie. You guys should check
cute.
It out.
I'm about to do that.
It's a good German exploitation movie. It's also based on a real story.
Well, honestly, shooting heroin into your forehead seems smart.
It goes right to your brain.
Because then it's just like... You get like mega mind high. Your head would just turn into a dice.
Why?
I don't know, but wouldn't that be interesting?
It would be interesting.
Like it turned into a square shape.
Well, I guess it wouldn't be interesting to you. It'd probably be pretty horrifying if your head became a dice. But to other people, they might see that and clinically detached find it interesting.
But that would be cool because then you could like throw the person like a pair of dice and it's like
roll
wherever they
bones.
Land.
Roll them bones that's because...
Just, that's just stupid. Come on, guys. Why would this...
Read your billboard.
Yeah.
Let's not chase this one. Okay, so my billboard. I think it's kind of a troll. I can imagine from what direction this came from. But I think it's kind of a troll. And I will say, if you're going to troll us in this way, at least make us say slurs or something, because this is kind of team.
You can't out-troll us. We're the experts here.
So this is from Morgan Folkers.
Who?
Exactly who. And he says...
Wait, is that the clown guy? What? Morgan Geed or whatever the fuck his name is?
No, that's Morgan
Reed. A clown sent us a billboard?
No clown sent us a billboard. Okay. So this is from Morgan Folkers. And he says, hello. Please listen to the Slime Wire podcast available on all podcast platforms. It is an alt-right vaporwave podcast. Thank you. Sent from my iPhone. Okay.
That was kind of nice because it was brief.
Yeah, it was brief. So
thankfully,
I went right to the point.
So, of course, we were always read your thing. I guess some viewers go out there and listen to the alt-right vaporwave podcast. Now, I will say, it is very perfect and fitting that there would be a vaporwave podcast that is also alt-right, because what else is vaporwave than some kind of unimagined nostalgia, this future that you hope that you had, that you feel has been robbed from you, that's been handed down from corporate interests, and is all just defined by consumerism. Of course that would be alt-right, because what else are they all griping about? Some kind of imagined perfect white kind of future, or some kind of safe space they can live inside forever. You know, they want to be children again, forever. So what you know, it's pretty perfect to cover vaporwave. You know what I mean? Yeah, childish.
Why'd you pass the ball on the street? Why'd you pass the ball on the street? Why'd you pass the ball on the street? 'Cause he bothered you!
What's beef? Beef is when you ain't safe up in the streets.
Beef when you ain't safe up in the streets. Beef is when you roll on less than 3%. Beef is when I see you.
Amos Lungotti had a lot of beef.
He did. Okay. So that brings us to our review here. Thank you for the weak segue, but I was not on the ball here. So it was my choice, this story, because we wanted to do a scary story. And I guess we could have picked from a lot of different scary fiction that is in our scene and stuff like that. But
yeah, we could have read Post Pop Lit and been scared by the lack of talent.
Jesus Christ.
Bro, that was totally unnecessary. But you know what? Yeah. Fuck it.
Man, you know, okay.
Let's ball.
There was some good stuff in there. All right.
One person wasn't very good.
Blake Butler and that. Well, I'm not even going to.
Because he keeps killing people. He keeps killing women. Can't be stopped.
Blake Butler won't stop killing women.
The butcher of women.
The butcher.
Blake the woman butcher.
Blake the woman butcher.
But yes, so this was my pick from David's Cabinet. And so I guess it's kind of lame that it is a Thomas Ligotti story, which you've probably... at least heard the name if you've not read him, especially because of True Detective season one, which
wait, that was based on a Ligotti story?
Yeah, not based on a story, but the philosophy behind it, and you know, especially a lot of the Rust parts were from. It's wow! I'm looking at the Wikipedia page right now, and it's crazy that Ligotti calls this book nonfiction because it's
what?
So
cool.
Wait, the book that Red Tower is in?
No. It's the conspiracy against the human race is was like a direct inspiration for a lot of Russ's little monologues and stuff like
Bro,
that.
Bro, Russ was badass.
Russ was awesome.
But I want to be Russ.
Ligotti calls that nonfiction. He hates everyone.
He's a hater.
But yeah, so I picked this story. And this is going to be, I would assume, a good review. I don't know what the other people, my co-hosts, have to say about it. But yes, I picked it. And I, when we did our last horror review of the, man, what is his name?
Dawson.
Yeah. Okay. David, cut this. Okay. When we did Dawson's review, I spoke a little bit about gothic romance and cosmic horror and that kind of Lovecraft kind of style. And Ligotti is, I would say, like, he's probably, if there's someone living who's doing it, he's the guy. He's taking up the mantle. And so I'd like to give like a little, I guess, a little intro, especially about this story and about... Just, I guess the whole idea of like, what is gothic romance? What is cosmic horror? And how does Ligotti differ from that school? Because obviously this is that, you know, that shit goes from like 1860, you could probably go up until, you know, obviously Lovecraft is the poster boy for that kind of stuff. But so what defines this kind of thing besides... the subject matter, which is, you know, maybe ancient aliens or maybe some kind of horror thing, you know, whatever the subject matter is, you can imagine they're horror stories. So what defines it? And I would say, as far as word for word, line for line, like writing thing, what we're supposed to be dealing with here is really, it is a bizarre mixture of really stuffy emotional language, but emotional in the sense of a sort of over-the-top expression, almost a purple prose.
Really heightened shit.
Yeah, and that people would say overwrought today. And it surely is. It surely is considered there. But it does...
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, but it does sit alongside kind of the technical report style and like kind of scientific dispatches that is... Also, so it's kind of those kind of combinations. And so this story, The Red Tower, is from Ligotti's collection, The Nightmare Factory, 1996. And so this is middle period Ligotti. And this is where you start seeing him shed this kind of gothic affect. Because if you read his earliest works, like Songs of a Dead Dreamer or Grim Scribe, like they are... still I kind of have a hard time deciding whether it is like too much mimicry. Basically he mimics like Lovecraft and those kind of guys style pretty well, and I could never tell if it was maybe like more tongue-in-cheek or something, or maybe it was an ability. But by the Nightmare Factory, you start to see him shedding that affect, either because he's improving as a writer or he's bored of the form of that kind of gothic thing. And he begins to direct and articulate his hate and his disdain to something beyond, to kind of fashion it, not like a spear, like maybe Harlan Ellison, but more into something like a sort of weighted blanket or a miasma that hits you like internally and hits you on something like your soul. And so that, that's The Red Tower. We'll have a link for it. You can read it for free. We'll also have a link to a reading of it that we enjoy. The guy sounds kind of weird, but
I guess... Yeah, he kind of sounds like AI, but it kind of fits.
Yeah. And another reason, just that we would like to cover this story, because it's Halloween, is this is... a story that has no characters except a narrator. And so that makes it you know, just like most of the slop that we're forced to read. But instead,
I was just going to say something about that too.
This is at least intentional with this story. They intentionally just have the narrator as the character and no other characters. We're going to let Mari start this time because it's the first time he read this story and I was so happy that he read it. I obviously love it. Mari.
I really like the story too, and I'm a big fan of stories that are, you know, set and don't really have much characters and just focus on one singular thing. But what I think I found most interesting of this story,
Stanley,
whatever about this story, this constant contrast between the gray emptiness and the tower, because this is like where a lot of the momentum of the piece is, because the tower starts and it's the same hue as all this emptiness. And then it gains the color red, but the narrator describes it as like an affront and like it's almost a betrayal.
Yeah.
I found that super interesting. Well, I can't say that word anymore, but but there's a lot of like that little contrast where it's like the surroundings are called devastation and that makes the tower seem less horrific. But then it like he refocuses it and I have so much to say about this story because while I was reading it, I was kind of getting lost in the detail because it's like he goes on this floor. It kind of reminds me of that show How It's Made, where it's it goes step by step, and it's every floor seems to have like another floor to it and another lever. And it's like all of these details, but yet we're being kept absent from probably the most important things, because like, for example, we don't know what the novelty items really are. I mean, he does give some descriptions, like he has that gourd where you pick it up and it starts screaming. And then he has that like music box that plays like the sound of a human dying. There's so much like mystery to it.
Well, because no one's ever seen the Red Tower. No one ever has, he says, and possibly no one ever will.
That was a great rug pull moment too.
The Red Tower is something that requires a witness to it, or it doesn't exist, and maybe it has always been here, or maybe it is only here because man can see it,
or maybe it's only like noticeable because of how like gray and desolate everything is. And didn't you mention that Ligotti's from Detroit?
That's pretty, you know, the surroundings. You know, it's funny that you kind of really like that and thought that was beautiful, because the surroundings of the Red Tower, so it's described as a gray kind of expanse with nothing around it. There's no road that leads to the Red Tower. There's no roads anywhere. And to me, that's the scariest thing. Not the scariest, but one of the scariest things to me is that this landscape is a landscape of urban decay pushed beyond to the furthest extent, to the point of being a desert. Something was here and now it's not, and it's even drained of color.
I feel like you can tell he's a Detroit writer like immediately. You're from Detroit especially, like we're surrounded by abandoned buildings everywhere. Like our neighborhood is maybe 60% abandoned buildings. It used to be more because they've been building it up. But there's something so immediate and so specific in this descriptions to where he is from. And also just in the attitude of the story. Like Detroit is such a place of desolation and like uncanny beauty too. Like, but Mari sends us pictures from his walks or his bike rides a lot. And it is so dense and so busy. And when David sends pictures from Detroit, it's all like trash and empty space. But I think like there's this sort of thing with Detroit, and I don't know how to articulate it quite so much. There's this line he says that says, "But such structures or creations have their own desires, their own destinies to fulfill, their own mysteries and mechanisms, which they must follow at whatever risk." And there's sort of like this, like, I don't know, like this dark kind of like determinism that's really common in Detroit. Like
just churning forward.
Yeah, yeah. And so like, so whenever there's a murder here, right? Whenever someone gets shot in our neighborhood or killed in some way, The first question anyone ever asks when they hear about it is, what did he do?
Yeah, what did he do to deserve this? Yeah.
Yeah, that's so emblematic of this city and also sort of like this current in this story of just like this vast monolith of badness that is, yeah, like you said, like churns and churns.
And Ligotti got to see firsthand before he left Detroit, of course,
because he lives in Florida now, right?
Yeah, which is funny that
yeah,
it's like, oh, you never wanted to have faith in humanity, huh?
But he probably wrote this while like in the pool with a little like floaty that was flamingo shaped.
I wonder when he moved.
Yeah, but he got to basically see the first fall of Detroit, you know what I mean, in the 70s, and he predicts what's going to happen. You know what I mean? That's one of the things I think with the story. Because you see lots of people talk about maybe the story's about cancer, or maybe it's about a brain dying.
Oh,
that would be interesting.
But for me, kind of the machinery of capital, or the machinery of evil, the evil of man.
Yeah, this like hypnotic construction of evil.
Yeah, because it just gets deeper and deeper. Like, even inside the tower, like, things disappear because he describes like items becoming spectral outlines, and even like contrasted with the emptiness outside, it kind of comes in, but it buries itself because there's so many subterranean levels to this, and it just kept the tower. What I liked is like it kept folding into itself, and you get lost as a reader as to where you are, and I thought that was a very good like horror device.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think liminal spaces, you know what I mean, kind of, but like a true liminal space, like literally liminal,
not like an office.
Perhaps the factory is just this evil soul of man, or whatever makes man do evil, that's always there but also not there because you can't touch it, but still it moves forward, it goes forward and forward. And you know, the factory doesn't make it's not even that the factory doesn't make sense or isn't following the logic, because I think Ligotti works pretty hard to ground that as much as he can.
He definitely does, because he even like focuses in on that, like with the levers and stuff. Like, it's never, very technical.
And it's also not even that the factory has no purpose. It is that the factory has a purpose beyond us that keeps going, that still cannot be seen or felt without us.
It's kind of like the lockets it makes, you know, those dark, dark lockets where they're just like infinite blackness, and the very heavy cameos that are like light but impossibly heavy.
I also think him calling, when there are actual artifacts, him calling them novelties. And that says, this is so much, I think, because it's like a novelty is something essentially useless. But these novelties are also insidious and evil and can do harm, not from our understanding, but we can understand at least that this is harm. You know what I mean? And so that's why I say, like, well, he hates humanity for good reason, because what do we do but take every resource that we can and churn it out into novelties, garbage, that just makes the world.
We turn animals into meat.
So you go down to the first basement of the tower, and there's complex tunnel works. That's how the products get out. No one knows where the tunnels come up again, but they do, because these products leave. And then eventually the machinery evaporates above, but there's still something being manufactured. And that's on the second basement floor, which is a graveyard with graves and tombstones that have no name and anything like that. And what starts getting manufactured is what he calls
hyper-organic phenomena, right?
Yeah, hyper-organisms with degeneracy and death writ deeply upon them. And I think it's like, okay, when the resources run out above, that capital and this urge for man to conquer and the selfishness that we have, that we take and take, that even when you're dead. You know, we will take the dead and retch them up into terrible creatures. We will parade the dead as another product. The dead still nameless. You know what I mean?
It made me think of a lot of like true crime and like people who collect like serial killer artifacts and also like John Waters movies. They all go together. Like, I don't know, true crime kind of turns out like endless successions of victims that all kind of go together, mm-hmm. and people follow it like a novelty, like a little toy game or something like mm-hmm. that. And people mm-hmm. collect John Wayne Gacy's paintings and John Waters movies have, like the narrator says in the beginning, they are about my truly degenerate sense of amazement, my decayed fascination. And
he even calls himself, he says, like, my own degenerate imagination. And
mm-hmm. yeah
he like almost sees his own mind and perspective as a sort of factory,
a factory of novelties, of useless things he's interested in, like the prurient, this very like
not useless things, but things that seem useless but in fact
are infernal
and cast far beyond that we can't understand.
Bro, this is like the box from that pin. What's that? Hellraiser. Like,
yeah.
When they find the box and they're like, what the fuck is this?
Good thing I can't solve a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, for real.
I also like, so that second, no, the second basement layer, it's a graveyard, right? It implies death, but also what is a graveyard, but memorializing. You know what I mean? Like Lynn was saying, they keep these artifacts. You take these artifacts, this memorializing of something, but it's like a botched or smeared memorializing, because there are no names. What's being memorialized except maybe death?
But it's also like being contained in the tower. So it's mm-hmm. like,
I don't know if it's self-contained because it comes out from the factory. What comes from the next generation, right? You know, we create these useless things that actually damage us, damage the world, damage our psyche. And so what's the next generation of manufacturing? I guess a bunch of dead-eyed degenerates with death written deeply upon them. And I can't help but think of these griper shooters kind of thing of like, I don't know what else. If you live in a society and culture completely of death and consumption and selfishness, it's like, what will birth from that? These hyper organisms that are the factories of themselves to create bile and hate. You know what I mean?
Or you could make a classic grindcore album.
I want to go to the end of the story where he says, and you said it was a rug pull, where he goes, I've never seen the tower. No one ever has, and possibly no one ever will.
Yeah, I found that super shocking when I first came across it. Like, because he just like this whole story was so painted with these immaculate mm-hmm. details, and then he says that, and it's almost like, well, why should I trust you? Like, but at the same time, like, you've built this trust as a narrator up until this point, and it's like, I still believe you. I still believe everything mm-hmm. you saw,
yeah,
even though
yeah.
you didn't see it.
It's yeah. the truth, even though it didn't happen, right? Like, in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes, that's pretty good. Yes, it's the truth, no matter. Or like, maybe we can't perceive this horror we've constructed, or that this horror does not exist without us. The Red Tower requires a witness, or it doesn't exist.
But I saw it emerge from reading the story, which is scary.
You know, that's also, like, the Red Tower doesn't exist. We've never seen it, but it does exist because we've read this story and it's infiltrated us.
Yeah, I was, like, imagining some, like, super Meat Boy shit.
Some fucked up shit. This dude making Minecraft.
That's so strange. I did not, but... The last paragraphs lead us with, we are told that the factory is still running on the third basement floor. That there might be endless floors beneath, but we know that there's a third basement floor, and we know that it's still manufacturing something, but we don't quite know what that is yet. And that is even more horrifying. To go to my little through line here of like, when you reach the end of history, when you reach capital to its zenith, what emerges from there? Just these fucking flinty-eyed heathens that live in paradox and hurt And then what comes next after that?
Bro, that third floor might be the comedy mothership.
I dreamed I was an angel that fell into disgrace. My wings came off and left me, and I flew out into space. The darkness had no bottom. Through emptiness I fell. My face began to laugh at me, and then I heard it yell. Nightmare! Villains and meanies tracking me down. Nightmare! Devils and genies floating around. Nightmare! Witches and goblins walking on air. Nightmare! I found a bush of goldfish in a hothouse packed with ice. My pockets couldn't hold.
Dick Cheney was Johnny Sins.
Johnny Sins.
Do you know that? Do you guys know who Johnny
no.
Sins is?
The porn
is
guy?
Yeah,
he's like the bald porn star.
Johnny Sins.
Like Buck Angel.
Oh, Buck Angel. Those old pornos of Buck Angel just like punching his pussy as hard as he can, just over and over and over again. Going to you see, Buck Angel's so funny because Buck Angel's a TERF now and is always talking about like how you know, you gotta make sure you pass and blah, blah, blah. But
that's a good Buck Angel.
Why would you have surgery and go on tests and all this stuff to look? Because Buck Angel
mocks me.
Yeah, but you go through all that, but you don't have any voice training. It's like, are you sitting there bullying maybe ugly trans girls? You talk like that. You talk like Mickey Mouse. It's crazy.
Are you guys eating candy because it's Halloween?
Oh, that's, I can't do this joke because it's Halloween. I forgot.
Is it too scary?
No, I'll do the joke anyway. Okay, here's a joke.
Here it comes.
So Mari, how's it feel to be in post revolution New York, that we finally, the communists have won and everything's
fair? Well, bro, about that, I've this one very cute girl followed me. Mm-hmm. And I followed her back, and she posts a lot of Zoran stuff.
Oh, and Zolpid.
She was like, she looked kind of Polish, so I DM'd her and I asked if she was.
So
she
ugly?
Was like a
she looked ugly?
No.
Polish women are beautiful.
Bro, she's a hottie.
Eastern European women are beautiful. They just turn into hags when they get old.
No, I don't think she's going to turn into a hag.
She's probably a hag now.
No.
You know how they're beautiful? And then they hit a certain age, like Chinese women, and they turn into like little crones.
It's all very hag coded.
No, but like she posted that she voted for Zoran, and I said, well, what did I say? Oh, yeah, I said that Zoran Mandemi would want us to hang out. And then she pointed out that I spelled his last name wrong. So I doubled down and I said the same misspelling. And then I said, like, when he won, I was like, Zoran Mandemi won. We should celebrate by getting soup dumplings in the city. And she left me on red. I'll have to DM her again.
No.
Yeah, that's definitely what you should do, is DM her again.
You fumbled it like Anna Krivolopoula.
No. Every couple days of his mayor, like, era, I'm just going to DM her until she hangs out with me.
Do it.
I think that's harassment or cyber-stalking. Is that what it is?
No, it's not. Because I'm not like some of these guys in online lit who will threaten to cut a bitch in the DMs.
Are people threatening to cut bitches in the DMs?
God, I hope so.
Yeah, this one gentleman who's apparently starting a podcast, which is the T.
And that's the T.
He, like, apparently, like, says he's going to cut bitches. He's going to kidnap them, snatch them up. It's scary.
That is scary, man. It's Halloween, too.
Running through Dimes Square with a Freddy Krueger claw, you know. What are some of those bars that they always say, and then they act like it's a big thing?
Oh yeah, like KGB bar.
KGB. Ooh.
I've never been. I don't go to those things.
I thought
but...
you guys were talking about rap music.
Wait, what?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Like bars? Like rap bars?
Yeah, like KGB bars.
You know, that'd be a lot cooler if these New York guys and girls were
all rapping.
We're at least talking about bars.
Yeah, I'm starting the trend.
You, Mari, are starting the trend of New York rappers.
Of rap music. Mari started rap music as a whole.
I started rap music.
Lyndon carried it.
Spike Lee is gonna make a film about me. For real, like I'm eating so much candy, I'm looking like Charlie from the Whale. I want to blow up like Charlie from the Whale and just blow up.
Yeah, that's what happened. It was basically the end of the movie is like up.
Yeah.
He went Super Saiyan.
I don't know why that guy.
There's not really like fat people in Dragon Ball Z, are there?
Majin Buu.
Majin Buu.
Oh, like his first form, right?
And then I loved him. Majin
Buu. Yeah, the pink guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wasn't pink guy Filthy Frank?
Yeah.
Filthy Frank is a loser.
Why do you say stuff like this?
I don't know.
It's not even rage bait at this point.
Yeah. You know it's like.
So like if you said that 10 years ago on a YouTube comment,
just makes us sound old.
Yeah, we should just talk about Pink Guy and Doug Walker.
Yeah, we're a little housekeeping. So we're kind of buckling down. We're trying to reduce the time in between episodes. So hopefully you can expect one every 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And those times in between, we're going to fill with a reading series that we're going to do. Called Mindful Self-Indulgence. Oh, my.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just listening to you do housekeeping.
Yeah, you were keeping me entertained. Yeah,
I was being reverent. To my husband, it's my duty.
Oh, that was really cute.
But it's basically the reading thing is authors that we enjoy, they will just read their work. And they can also do pretty much whatever they want to do with that time, and hopefully that will be filling in the gaps in between. And our first that will be Rudy Johnson.
Rudy Johnson.
Woohoo!
You know, there's this part in Last House on the Left where the main girl is talking about how her boobs have filled out over the summer. And then she's talking about her crush and she throws a bunch of leaves in the air and she goes, Rudy Johnson!
Wait, really?
Is that true?
Yeah, for
oh,
real.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's wild.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, but he'll be our first interview. I mean, oh, shit. I blew it. He'll be our first reading and then he will be an interview. I will be interviewing Rudy.
We had another interview, but Mari blew it.
No.
We were going to have Anna Krivilopoulos, but
okay, let me say something about that.
Blew it. You blew
I
it,
didn't
brother.
Blow it, dude. She like ghosts me sporadically. It's like,
but then you ghosted her.
Yeah, because
you
it's
ghosted
like,
her.
He did, dude. He did because he got out of his heels. He was intimidated. By strong Russian
I am intimidated a little bit by her. She's like really hard to talk to.
She's really smart.
She is, but like,
what if she looks like Zarya from Overwatch?
What if she looks like Daria?
No, I feel like she's really hot. She must be really hot.
She must be really hot if she ghosted you.
Oh, that just means Mari is handsome.
And you know, Anna, if you're listening to this, we can still do the interview. We still do it. You don't have to talk to Mari. Obviously, he doesn't respect you.
Wants to do it with me.
Yeah.
Well, I think she has a crush on me, and that's why she ghosted me.
Why would you say something like this? Why would you say something like this? But, you know, the biggest loss of this, of Mari fumbling yet another female interaction, is that now our enemies are... she's went over to the other side. The other side.
Yeah, I didn't fuck with that, Anna.
That's fine. That's fine. You can go into alt-right podcasts. That's cool. But they're not... Look, I'm more of a white nationalist than them. They're fake white nationalists. Okay?
Dude, the only national... I don't even know. I was going to say something. I can't even think of anything to say.
Happy Halloween!
Yes, it's still Halloween.
I'm really scared.
It's Halloween. So yeah, that's gonna be happening. We also got our shit together a little bit more. Our producer's not actually being a good producer, but he's in the fray. And then we got a clips guy now. And he's doing clips.
My best friend.
I haven't been posting.
Yeah, we got a whole ass team.
They're doing
what's up
clips.
Now, bitches.
Yeah, somebody needs to take over posting the clips because I just don't want
to
do it.
David wants me to do it. I can do it. I have a good one.
Yeah, good.
To post.
Good, good. Anyway, so that's housekeeping. And hopefully that reading series will go on. I'm got to send more emails out to different people that I like. And interviews might happen once a month, once every 2 months. It really, if I want to talk to someone and if I have something to talk to them about, because it's not, I just don't want to do a cute, everybody does that shit. It's boring. Sorry.
I think so too.
It's like, do you want to see the dogs? It's like a peacock.
You want to see the dogs?
Yeah.
Dude, that's such a perfect segue. I was trying to see how I would do this. All right, guys, we only have, so I'm going to give you the deets here about this thing that we've been going crazy about, I've been going crazy about, all my coworkers have been going crazy about, and then we will include the recording of what we're talking about, and then the show will end. We'll play our theme song. But so, let me set the scene here. I go and unload truck at about 5 a.m., 6 a.m. with my coworkers, and we listen to the radio, of course, and we listen to Steve Harvey in the morning. And, you know, I am in Detroit, so we usually listen to Steve Harvey interspersed with really, like, really sexual, emotional soul music. So it is weird to have, like, four guys at 7 a.m., like, listening to the sex music. But so there is a commercial or series of commercials that comes on, and you always know it happens. It is Top Dog Law. And so what happens is there is this man who kind of spoken word raps. There's always a beat happening. And he's so aggressive and he yells at you.
It's so good.
And so, like, for example.
All you did was take your dog for a walk. Who would have thought it would end like this? You and your dog got hit by a car.
Hercules.
You hurt and your dog is dead. Dog laying in the street, flat as a pancake. You got a broken leg, but you're more concerned about your dog. You scream out, Roger! Get out, Roger! Roger ain't moving. Roger dead. Thinking to yourself, just killed my dog. This is murder. This ain't no accident. This is murder. See what you did? Now that I'ma sick my dog on you. His name is Top Dog. Very aggressive. Bites hurt. When he gets you, it's painful. You gonna see. He gonna eat this one up. Your Uber driver broke my leg and killed my dog. He gonna eat this one up. Watch. This is Top Dog right here. Follow him on Instagram at Top Dog Law. It's topdoglaw.com.
There's a whole family in that car. They're not moving. What are you gonna do? It's an emergency. Just like stuff like this is what he says. And this is for a law firm.
The dogs are screaming.
It's for a law firm?
It's for a law firm. Top
Dog Law. Like a law concierge service. Like not even like a law firm, really.
Yeah, it's an in-between kind of thing. But they have this guy who is named Top Dog. And now he's become a local celebrity. And he's always like, Top Dog Law. And it is the craziest thing because he will basically tell you these crazy murder stories. It's like, it's an emergency, you know, oh my god, the family's not moving, you want to, you know, what are you gonna, and one of them is, it just, it's not even like telling you to go and contact Top Dog Law, it just seems designed to make you fear Top Dog Law.
He's like,
the dog is coming for
shit.
You
he does say that,
he says it all the time. It's like, the dog's coming for you. You better hope that you can get away. You can run, but the dog will get you. Oh, what was the one that was so funny? Oh my god. I think it was specifically Halloween themed. He goes, "You know what's scary? An accident. You know what else is scary? A dog."
I believe in life. Everything is pre-written. The accident you got into? Best believe that was pre-written. See, from the day you was born, you was gonna get into that accident and you was gonna call Top Dog. It was pre-written. You was gonna be rich. Now you're balling. Look at you.
Pop, boom.
No.